Now we will discuss just a bit about the Recovery Version Study Bible. I have basically 10 minutes to describe such a wonderful book. But we will go over it and just compare it a little bit and just see the details that it provides. So first, we'll just take a look at the general principles of the Bible and in translating the Bible. And then we will compare the different translations and techniques that have been used for the King James Version and also for the translation of the Recovery Version, which is this version here. And then we will have we'll come to a conclusion. So, first, I'm not too sure if you all know that they don't report it in the New York Times anymore, but I believe if they were to, still the Bible was still ranked number one.
Amen. Yeah.
It's the number one sold book in the world.
Amen.
Of course, they provide and they make thousands, hundreds of thousands, and translate into so many different languages as we will see.
Right.
So the Bible has been translated into 392 languages by 2002. And there have been at least 63 translations in English since the 1950s. At least 10 are widely accepted. So, the general principles. First, let's talk about the original text. So, to uncover the Bibles, or to uncover the truth in the Word, there has been a need for archaeology. And of course, there has been different findings, even more recent findings that have been made. So the Bible translators need to depend on archaeology, so we need archaeology, and biblical textual criticism to produce a most authoritative original text that closely resembles the autographs. So the autographs being the original documents, there needs to be, of course, first the discovery through archaeology, and then the expertise to study the actual manuscripts. From these manuscripts, many of you have probably heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. So those you can consider as manuscripts. From those manuscripts, the translators come up with a text. And so the most authoritative original text accepted by the modern biblical scholars are the New Testament eclectic text, which is used by the United Bible Societies, and the Nestle-Aulin Greek text. And then the Old Testament, the origin is from the Masoretic text, which of course is in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. So there are three aspects to translation. First, there are those who take the most literal translation of the original language. So they translate it word by word. Then there's also dynamic equivalence. They don't so much care for idioms, structure, style. They do their best with the language they have to describe a particular portion in a sentence or in a verse. So you could say that they use elegance as opposed to accuracy, which is in literal translation. And finally, there is a combination of these two. And you could say that the Recovery Version is a combination of these two. It provides a very literal and accurate translation, and also provides study notes to understand the original text. So now, of course, there are always changes in language, which means that there's never a standard. The Bible is always improving. It's always, the translation is always progressing. And not only because of language, but because of the advancement of the knowledge of the truth and through the experience of all the believers to confirm the truth. And so now let's take a look at the King James Version. So the King James Version uses the text, the Textus Receptus, which was discovered actually earlier from the as compared to the Dead Sea Scrolls. You could say it is considered less authoritative. So only 16 years after its publication, Codex Alexandrinus arrived at the British Museum from Constantinople, too late to be incorporated into this version. Now, of course, this document would be more authoritative. So they stuck with the Textus Receptus and the Codex Alexandrinus. So the King James Version uses the principle of the word for word translation. But we need to understand that the manuscript they use is not as authoritative as the Eclectic Version. So this version leaves its mark upon the English language with such expressions as lick the dust, skin of his teeth, and salt of the earth. And this English language continued to develop, however, so that in time the wording of the King James Version would become archaic and in need of improvement. So of course these phrases, you could say, are idioms that could be used in translation. But of course, when a translator comes to certain idioms, let's say in the Greek language, they could either use them or try to do their best to translate them word for word, or use the object translation to do their best to describe that idiom. So now the Recovery Version. So in 1948, Watchman Nee proposed to produce four kinds of Bible translations covering the entire spectrum of translation principle. That is, from literal translation to dynamic equivalent, and of course the combination between the two. So here are the four translations that were proposed for the Recovery Version. The extreme literal, the literal translation, the balanced, and extreme paraphrasing, which is dynamic equivalence. So the process. Witness Lee, Watchman Nee's closest co-worker, continued Watchman Nee's burden. So from 1974, he led a semi-annual life study training in the U.S. and expounded the New Testament book by book. Meanwhile, with the help of experts in Greek, he translated the New Testament into English and added footnotes, outlines, and references. And of course, it is named the Recovery Version. And it was completed in 1985. So the reason why it is termed the Recovery Version is not because of recovery from any addiction, but actually because the truth has been lost. Not that it has been discovered, but it has been recovered.
Right.
So, like this matter of justification by faith,
right,
that was recovered during the Reformation, which was the 1600s by Martin Luther. You could say that in the 1600s, this truth of justification by faith was recovered. And so now today, we have the truths of Christ indwelling the believers, and the truths of the millennial kingdom, the truths of the church as the body of Christ. So just to finish up, in 1988, Witness Lee continued to lead the study of the trainings on the Old Testament and translated the Old Testament into English with the help of experts in Hebrew. And then completed the Recovery Version Bible, well, it was printed in 1999. So like I said, so this version, the Recovery Version, uses the Nestle Aland Greek text, and for the Old Testament, the Biblia, Hebraic, Septuagintensia, it's hard to say. So this is just a very good summary. I could just briefly cover this. So translating the Bible depends not only on the adequate comprehension of the original language, but also on the proper understanding of the divine revelation in the Holy Word. So throughout the centuries, the understanding of the divine revelation possessed by the saints has always been based upon the light they received, and this understanding has progressed steadily. Mm-hmm. The consummation of this understanding forms the basis of this translation and its footnotes. Hence, this translation and the accompanying footnotes could be called the crystallization of the understanding of the divine revelation, which the saints everywhere have attained to in the past 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. It is our hope that the Recovery Version will carry on the heritage that it has received and will pave the way for future generations.
Amen.
So the Recovery Version embodies extensive research into the meaning of the original text and attempts to express this meaning with English that is to the point, easy to understand, and is readable. So these are some comparisons. Just briefly, the King James Version. Instead of using, so the verse in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men," and the Recovery Version translates, "Everyone who therefore, who will confess in me." Mm-hmm. So two things in this comparison. Well, first, the manuscript or the text used by the King James Version could omit that preposition in, which is very significant in relation to the light that is received from this verse. The Recovery Version uses "in him," implying, first, taking it from a more authoritative text, the eclectic text, and also provides the light of the organic union that we are in Christ.
Right.
Amen.
That we are in him. Mm-hmm. So this is why the Recovery Version is just a wonderful translation. And just briefly, there are many reference materials that Washburn and Witness Lee stood upon the shoulders of. For instance, Henry Alford's study of the New Testament, different concordances, Greek word studies. And so the Recovery Version Bible is focused on the faithfulness to the original text in order to reveal the divine revelation inherent in the Scriptures.
Amen.
Therefore, the Recovery Version Bible is an excellent study Bible to help the believers to dive into the truths and to grow in life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So now, within these next 10 minutes, we're going to get a little, just a little experience. We're going to dive into just a portion in the Recovery Version.
Amen.
If you turn to page 6, now originally we thought we were going to break up into small groups, but that doesn't look possible because it's a full room and there's even overflow outside. So what we'll do is we'll read this briefly together in different groups, in different sections, and then we'll give you some time, maybe 5 minutes, to discuss a little bit with your neighbor or with your the person next to you, and then we'll have a question answer and sharing time for you all to discuss the content that is in the Recovery Version. So is everyone on page 6? Turn to page 6. And so let's read Revelation 1:1 together.
"The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his slaves the things that must quickly take place. And he made it known by signs, sending it by his angel to his slave John.
Okay, now we'll read just a few sentences by section. Well, how about we do two rows at a time? So first, these two rows, we can read the first two sentences.
Amen. As the last book of the Bible, Revelation is a conclusion, completion, and consummation of the entire divine revelation, the whole Bible. The seeds of most of the truths of the divine revelation were sown in Genesis, the first book of the Bible.
Amen. Okay, the next two rows, the next two verses.
All these seeds is progressively developed in the succeeding books, especially in the books of the New Testament. And the harvest is reaped in the book of Revelation. Hence, most of the things covered in this book are not absolutely new, but are in the preceding books. And are perfected in this book, the focus of which is the unique, ultimate revelation of Christ, the particular, consummate testimony of Jesus, and the universal, eternal economy of God.
Amen.
This book.
So the next two rows.
This book is the book of prophecy, not prophecy merely in words, but in visions revealed to the seer. In the eyes of God, all the things prophesied in this book have already taken place.
Amen.
Thus all were shown to the seer, vision after vision. Therefore, most of the verbs used in this book are in the past tense.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Okay, next two rows, next two sentences.
He reveals Christ, the book of Revelation, especially as a conclusion, completion, and consummation of
Amen.
Is Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Just so we can all hear. How about we do a section at a time. So how about this section on the next two verses?
Amen.
Sentences.
Several aspects concerning Christ. Such as the vision of Christ as the high priest in the midst of the church, caring for man in love, yet with judging attitude. The vision of him as a lion lamb in the midst of God's throne, and of four living creatures in the midst of the 24 elders of the universe, opening the seven seals of God's universal administration.
Amen.
Coming down out of heaven to take possession of the earth.
Amen.
Do you?
Okay, now this section. Let's read this footnote 2.
Amen. The revelation of this book is mainly of signs. That is symbols with spiritual significance. Such as the seven lampstands, signifying the churches, the seven stars, signifying the messengers of the churches, etc. Even the New Jerusalem is a sign, signifying the ultimate consummation of God's economy. This book, then, is a book of signs through which the revelation is made known to us. John's Gospel is a book of signs, signifying how Christ came to be our light, to produce a church, his bride. John's revelation is a book of signs, showing how Christ is now caring for the church, and how he is coming to judge and possess the earth, and bring the church, his bride, into God's full economy. Amen.
Okay, now, let's read Revelation 1:4 together.
John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne.
Okay, now we'll have this section on this footnote, footnote 2.
Hey, Matt.
The seven churches were in those seven cities, respectively. They were not all in one city. This book does not deal with one universal church, but with the local churches in many cities. Mm. First, in Matthew 16:18, the church is revealed as universal. And then in Matthew 18:17, it is revealed as local. Mm. And as the church was practiced in the way of the local churches,
right,
such as the church in Jerusalem and the church in
the churches in the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. The epistles were written to the local churches, except for a few written to individuals. Not one was written to the universal church. Without the local churches, the universal church has no practicality or actuality. The universal church is realized in the local churches.
In this book. Amen.
Okay, now all together on footnote 3.
He who is and who was and who is coming is God the Eternal Father. The seven spirits which are before God's throne are the operating spirit of God. God the Spirit, Jesus Christ, to God the faithful witness, to the church the firstborn from the dead, and to the world the ruler of the kings of the earth, is God the Son. This is the triune God. As God the Eternal Father, He was in the past, He is in the present, and He is coming in future. As God the Spirit, He is a sevenfold intensified spirit for God's operation. As God the Son, He is a witness, the testimony, the expression of God, the firstborn of the dead for the church, the new creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth for the world. From such a triune God, grace and peace were imparted to the churches.
Okay, now for the next 5 minutes, let's just review with those around you or next to you just what we have read. And after these 5 minutes, we will have some time for questions, answers, and also for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, hallelujah. Yeah, please take 5 minutes.
Amen.